Always be prepared, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. There's an old Chinese parable that I read recently about a poor man who lived with his son on an old farm. One day, the horse that they owned and depended on to haul vegetables to town, their sole means of support, ran away. When the neighbors heard about it, they went to the old man and they expressed their sympathy. "Oh, this is bad," they said. "Well, how do you know it's bad?" the old man responded. "The horse returned and brought back with him a dozen wild horses." "Oh," the neighbor said, "oh, this is good." "Well, how do you know it's good?" he asked. "When my son tried to tame the horses, he broke his leg." "Oh, this is bad," they said, "very bad." "Well, how do you know it's bad?" the old man said. "Shortly afterward, a war broke out. And because my son was laid up, he didn't have to go to the front." Sometimes events by themselves are looked on as hopeless situations. But no setback, failure, loss, or suffering can be looked at as a single event, a page in a book, so to speak. There's always another page, another chapter to follow. There's always a final word, and that word is God's word. Throughout his epistle, Peter calls attention to suffering, but in every instance, it has a good consequence. In the verses before our epistle reading this morning, Peter encourages us to do good, even to those who do evil to us. Picking up at verse 8, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." He then continues at verse 13 by asking a rhetorical question. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good?" I think we all know the answer to this question. Everyone. There are days when it seems like everyone is out to harm us, starting with the devil himself, working down to your closest family member. There are days when it seems like it is you against the world. Peter recognizes the reality of living in a sinful society. There are days when, even when we do good and our motive is love, we will suffer for it. As Peter reminds us later in this chapter, that is exactly what happened to Jesus Christ, who only loved and only did good. He suffered for his good deeds by paying the ultimate price, being put to death on the cross. And we can expect that also. Jesus told us as much. In John chapter 15, verse 20, Jesus said, "A servant is not above his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Perhaps not the news you were hoping to hear this morning. But as challenging as it is good news. Peter goes on to write in verse 14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. This is really counterintuitive for us. But if we can get past our sinful nature and with the help of the Holy Spirit repay evil with good, we will be blessed by God, regardless of the actions of the other people. And to be blessed by God is good news. It is great news. It is the news that is to be shared with others along with the blessings that God bestows on us. And Peter gives us some guidelines to do that very thing. We read earlier in the ESV, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." In the NIV, it changes just a little bit. "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." And in the King James Version, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Honor, set apart, sanctify, all gain their meaning from the same Greek root word, hagios, or holy. And the three words all express that same idea, that the Christian faith is a life that is meant to be set apart, to be lived in holy obedience to the Lord. The book of 1 Peter in general contains quite a bit of encouragement about living a life of holiness. In the first chapter, the author writes, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Verses 14 through 16. This is only possible if we live a life that is set apart for the Lord. In the sermon last week, we talked very briefly about being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, which is also from 1 Peter. To be these things, to be holy, is to be different. Not of our own doing, but through Christ, who makes us holy through his blood and his sacrifice on the cross. The second point Peter gives us is in the second part of verse 15. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. To give a defense is simply to give reasons or the rationale for what you believe. The word defense, as used here in this passage, is from the Greek word apologia, and is where we get our English word apologetics. You might recognize apologetics as part of Christianity that deals with the defense of the Christian faith. Merriam-Webster defines it as a branch of theology devoted to the defense of the divine origin and authority of Christianity. However you define it, it is lived out in how you act, the way you talk, and is communicated through your lifestyle. Peter writes to all Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. They are a suffering church with hurting people. And yet Peter says to them to be prepared to give the reason for the hope that is within you. Because Christ is living within them, in their hearts, in their minds, in their souls. And they were displaying hope to the people around them, even to the people that were persecuting them, even when their lives seemed hopeless. It is no wonder that people would have asked them, "Why are you so filled with hope?" Now, we may not be suffering that same physical persecution, but we are persecuted just the same. The devil and the world has just updated their tactics for some of us, like wanting to make abortion, drugs, prostitution, even sex with minors legal, as evidenced in the latest UN recommendations to the world. Not much has changed. After all, it started way back in the garden. Did God really say? But for others, it is still sticks and stones, beheadings, and the like. We should not be surprised, as I mentioned earlier, if they killed Jesus, can we expect anything less? What Peter is telling us here is that despite all of this, we can and do have hope. We have good news to share. So be prepared. Don't resist sharing the good news. Don't hide it. Don't ignore it. Share it. And we share it with gentleness and respect. Finishing up verse 15 and going into verse 16, having a good conscience. Many Bible versions, including the King James, use the words meekness and fear at this point, instead of gentleness and respect. To be meek reminds us of the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5 and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, when he tells us, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." To be meek and gentle is to be kind, gracious, caring. It is to be Christ-like in that he met people where they were, needy, hurting, wanting. It can be one of the most loving things that we can do. It is the opposite of what we often see in the world today: rudeness, shoving, pushing, insensitive to what other people's needs are, with an unhealthy definition of what respect actually means. To be Christ-like is to be authentic, and God has called us to live this life of authentic Christianity. The Christian does not have the option of living a double life or a secret life. That means repenting of all of our sins, even the ones we like to hold on to, the ones that we don't like to admit. The reality of all of this is this: what have we done that Christ doesn't already know? And in some ways, we come back to the first part of this verse. The NIV says it's best. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. We must put off our sinful flesh, repenting of all of our sins, drowning the old Adam, putting God first, so that we make every effort, with God's help, to walk in the Holy Spirit. To having a clear conscience requires having all of our sins forgiven by God. To be clear is to be forgiven. To be transparent is not trying to hide our sins from God as if we could, but confessing all of them, known and unknown, and living as God intended, with our hearts set on Him. This section from 1 Peter is loaded with encouragement, but it does include a bunch of challenges for us. Verse 15 also happens to be one of my favorite verses from all of the Bible. To be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you, by itself, should give us pause. Are you ready? In today's world, we need to be ready more than ever. We never know when we may be asked to give the reason for the hope that is in us. And it may even be at gunpoint. Be ready. Share the good news. Be Christ-like. In Jesus' name, amen.